Blog Talk Radio.
Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say good morning, family, and Shabbat Shalom. We are still on the Elohim of the Blood Covenant in the New Testament, and we are looking at the marriage duties of the husband, and this is part two. I pray that everybody got prescribed rest last night. And that you're ready to eat from the Word of the Most High on this morning. I have been dreaming hydroponics. It's like I got hydroponics on the brain. And I'm, you know, set up now to the point where I have to start paying attention to, you know, the measurements of the solutions and, you know, see what's going on with the different plants. I might have to change plants around to different pots or different hydroponic tanks that are, you know, more closely related. Have a meter that I'm using that I didn't quite understand the measurement it was giving me, but I think I found out what it was this morning, the measurements that it's giving me, so that I can look at the solutions and see where I'm at with it, you know, for these test beds. I have a total of 4 beds now, and so I will at least take a picture and send it out, showing, you know, these 4 beds. The light in them is like very bright. At night, it looks like daylight in my sunroom. Outside, it looks like daylight coming from the sunroom. So, you know, the plants that are in there are doing very well. And I'm running right now, I have them all set to run like 18 hours a day of light. And so about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I have the lights turning off and then coming back on about 6 a.m. in the morning. And I actually have to stay up and actually make sure. I think I saw it one night where it went off. I was up that late. But I think I'm going to have to stay up or get up in the middle of the night and come downstairs and see if it is in fact turning off on those systems. But the plants look really, really good, especially those that have been in the hydroponics the longest. In the first bed, they're looking really good, really healthy. And so, you know, I am praising the Most High. And, you know, hopefully we stay that way. But, yeah, looking real good. Then I'm going to start putting together probably Sunday the grow tents that we'll be doing the microgreens in. So I'm actually looking at, you know, I actually probably should just put one together and see what size table I'm going to need. And I have 4 of them, 4 grow tents. I had to buy a shed to move some of my stuff out of my sunroom, you know, to store it, you know, exercise equipment that we don't really use, that type of stuff, so I can make room to put up all this stuff. But, you know, my entire sunroom is going to become an inside garden. So that's where we're headed. But the hydroponics units are, you know, I am extremely pleased with the way that they are performing. That being said, we pray that everybody is doing well. We want to greet everybody in Blog Talk, on Pal Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. On today, we're going to be covering the last part of this duties of the husband, of the man, in the covenant relationship. And today, you know, we're going to start off with covering that the man needs to, he has to actually provide for his family. A lot of, you know, times I'm hearing the sisters who are in relationships, who are married, supposed to be married, shacking up, whatever you want to call it. But the man seems to be not really doing what he's supposed to do. He's relying on her. And I just never really got that. As a man, I would not want to sit up and count on a woman to provide for me. I would not want to have it to where the woman had to do that. And I was taught that a man that won't work and won't steal is not a man. And what I mean by that, I'm not condoning stealing, but this is what I was taught. That, you know, by hook or crook, he's supposed to provide for his family. So whether it's through working or what have you, he needs to be the one that's, you know, he's ultimately responsible. So when, you know, the sisters are, you know, saying that, hey, I'm paying the vast majority of the bills and the car notes, insurance, I'm like, okay. And, you know, I don't really say it out to them, but I'm like, you sure you really got a man? Sound like you got a parasite. You got sound like you got somebody that you sleep with, but he's not really doing what a man's supposed to do. And so, you know, as a man, like I said, I would not feel comfortable. Not, you know, things happen in life, and I can understand, you know, somebody getting sick and somebody helping to maintain or support them while they're sick. I can understand that. And so I know things happen in life and everything is not perfect. Yet and still, as a man myself, I would never want my wife to have to, I'm healthy and she has to, you know, pull the weight of the house. No, that's my job. To make sure that, you know, whatever we get, whatever we do, that there's enough money to do everything. And, you know, what I would like to provide to my family. Now, if she wants above that, what I'm providing, and she wants to go out and work and get that, that's all fine and well, too. But if it's to help maintain, so that we can live with some relative comfort where, you know, a lot of arguments and fights typically stem out of financial need. You know, these bills aren't being paid. We need this. We need that. And if they're needs, then, you know, those arguments are probably valid. If they're wants, something that somebody wants, they don't actually need it, but they want it, then that's a whole other story. Because, you know, what you need, you got to have. What you want, those are optional things. And not saying, you know, my personality is just like with my kids. I'm the same way with a woman. I will give you some of what you want. Everything you need and some of what you want. But I'm not trying to spoil nobody. But I'm told that my spouse is spoiled. I'm told this by other people. But, you know, it is, if I have the ability to give it or to do it, and it's not going to cause me to have to work, you know, 80 or 90 hours a week to do it, then, yeah, I don't have a problem giving it or doing it. But it has never been my intent nor my desire to spoil anyone. You know, life is too hard, and then what you spend on extravagant stuff, when times do get hard and you don't have anything laid up, then now you're wishing that, oh, I wish I had put some of that money away. Wish I had did this, or I wish I had done that. Been there, done that, got that T-shirt, don't want it again. So we're going to be looking at, you know, that the man needs to be the provider. It's his job. And that he shouldn't even take a wife if he can't provide. You know, I think a lot of the issues is brothers are coming out of previous marriages. They got kids. They got child support. And, you know, they're trying to start over. And they weren't making a whole lot of money to begin with. And now the previous spouse or baby mama is taking money from them to support, you know, they're paying child support to support a child, and then they want to get into another relationship, and they can't really afford to be in the other relationship. And I've heard some horror stories from some sisters where I know one sister, she married this man, and she had about $30,000 or $40,000 in the bank, And as soon as they got married, she attached him to her bank account because they're married, and the IRS came and took her $40,000 because he had that much in back child support. And she's like, and they wouldn't give it back to her. So those types of stories. Brothers are got money going out to a previous, and now they're in another relationship, and they don't have enough to make ends meet, and they're wanting the woman who they are now with to make up the difference, or to even, you know, be more than just the difference, because most of their money is going to this previous relationship. So, you know, I personally tried to make sure that I made no children out of wedlock, that I didn't have to pay any child support to somebody that I wasn't going to be with, married to, because I know that when you get into a relationship, when you marry someone, then it's not really fair to them that what should be coming to them and in support of them and that relationship is going someplace else. And so, yeah, many people find themselves on the opposite end of that, where they have children and they're divorced, or they're not, you know, they never got married, but the woman said, you're the baby's daddy and I want child support. And now here it is, they can't afford to really be in a relationship. And if, you know, if the woman understands all that and she accepts it, then that's all fine and well too. But the truth of the matter is, if it was me, and I can only speak for me, if it was me and I had, you know, I knew that my funds, so much of my funds were going out to be with, to some, you know, to support a child or what have you, and I couldn't really afford another woman, I couldn't afford to, you know, take care of somebody else, then I personally would not be in a relationship. I'd be like, you know, yeah, but no. Because I just take my responsibilities that serious. Okay, so but we got a lot of people that it don't really matter. They'll get X amount of women pregnant, have babies all over the place, and then complain that they can't really have a life. Well, you should have thought about that before. You're supposed to be the provider in the family. Now, again, not that the woman can't or shouldn't help. She's capable. But it should be to help the man meet. He should have a plan, a goal in what he's trying to accomplish. Problem is, we're coming into relationships where the woman has her dreams and her, you know, her career and what she wants to do, and it's not really family oriented. It's more so geared toward, just like the man, this is what I'm trying to accomplish in life. And she has a plan for her life as well. And if the two don't line up, she's got her career, he's got his career. And she may already have her home, her own everything. But the truth of the matter is, it is out of line with the way that the Most High says that the relationship should be set up. So we're going to look at some of those things on today as part of the man's responsibilities. And again, you know, you don't have to agree with it, but you know, we're going to look and see what thus saith Yah Elohim. Then you see if you line up with him, not Brother Miles, because I try to line up with the scriptures myself, and as far as those things go, and that is where I'm going to say 99% of my standard comes from what's in the scriptures. Okay, let's do our statement of faith and pray in, and then we will go ahead and jump into the rest of this on this morning. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. We glorify you and we lift you up. We magnify you on this morning, Father. We thank you. We thank you for your covenant, Father. Hallelujah. We just want to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, for you are our Elohim. And another we will not bow down to. Glory to you, O Yah. Glory to you, Father. Glory to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Holy hands raised. Oh, let me have the women to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And Father, we are turning away from our sins. And our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them the unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that are called in Christ, that they would come and obey your voice and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let us read the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That really does surmise everything in the scriptures, our relationship with the Most High. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing, and the keeping of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. All right, the blowing of the shofar on this morning, as the Most High said. Thank you. right. Amen. 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 The Elohim of the blood covenant. Covenant marriage. Duties of the husband. Part two. Let us go to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. The book of Psalms, chapter 37. The scriptures say, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. If a man believes the Most High and believes that he takes care of his own and that the Most High, when we do what he says to do, we keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, we are seeking after him. You know, even as before I was in the truth about being a Hebrew Israelite, when I was a young man, I got married at 21, bought my first house at 21. I got married, moved my bride into it, and didn't really have a whole lot of money being in the military as an E3, E4. And we never really had enough money for everything. And then, you know, I got into the Word and paying tithes. And the Most High always made a way. We never struggled for money. And because we were faithful, you know, in paying our tithes and doing things, you know, my military pay always just seemed to be enough money to cover everything, the car notes, the insurance, you know, food, the house payment, electric bill, gas. My first wife also worked. And the Most High blessed her, you know, she was young, because I think I got married 21 and she was 17 at the time. Long story. But her parents agreed and let us get married. And so at 17, she, you know, was pulling down jobs that were making more than I was making. The Most High just blessed her and us that way, and we just never wanted. But you know, the thing that I learned out of that particular marriage was that I needed to make sure that we were living off of what I could make, because if she were to stop working and we were counting on her income. Let's say if she were to get pregnant and had to stop working for whatever the reason, once the self-employment ran out and once, you know, any little savings we had, then we would be relying upon only what I could make. And so I just need to make sure that as a man and as to being the head, that we were only living off of what, you know, I could afford to provide. Because no matter what I've learned through two marriages is that if I'm the head, then I'm responsible. And whatever we are living on, our standard of living, is based upon what I can provide. If the woman is not able to work because she had children, for whatever the reason, then the man needs to be able to make sure that the standard of living that they are accustomed to, he can maintain it, or else you're going to have problems. You know, if you're used to, you know, having X amount of spending money above and beyond the bills, and all of a sudden that's gone, if it's gone for a little while, that's one thing. If it goes away for a long time and you know, the woman is used to going to get her hair done, her nails done, this kind of stuff, and that the money is no longer there for that, then now you're going to have problems. And then on top of that, then if you have brought a child into the world and all those expenses that come with a child, diapers and Similac, all that stuff is not cheap. And if you can't afford, you know, if you make too much to get on food stamps or some type of assistance, then that puts another strain on the marriage and the relationship and the financial matters. And a lot of fights stem from those things, come out of those things. And so, you know, if you count on the Most High, then he's going to always make a way. But you got to also be wise. You know, you can't go and say, oh, well, I'm going to go and get this 5,000 square foot home and then don't really understand the full cost, what the electric bill is, what the gas bill is going to be, maintenance and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden you find out that, hey, I'm having to work two or three jobs all the time. And if that wasn't your intent, then now you're frustrated. And, you know, you're telling a woman, yeah, you got to go out and get a job. You got to help. We need some help in this stuff. But this really falls upon the man by the scriptures. Let's go to let's get some scripture on this. Let's go to 1 Timothy. So I'm not by any means telling any family that the woman shouldn't have to work or shouldn't work. I'm saying that the duty of the husband is to provide. Okay, and we're going to go into Torah and get this also. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It's worse than an infidel. Okay, so I'm going to get that out of the KJV, because I think that's from the Revised Version. But if any not provide, not for his own, especially for those of his own house, his own house, because it's supposed to be his house. And so let's talk about this for a minute. You know, one of the things that I see brothers doing is, as I said, because of life, because of circumstances, because they got money going out elsewhere to child support, those types of things, that they end up moving in with the woman in her house. And it's her house. It's her place, and she may give him the authority, but the truth of the matter is it's always really her house, not his own house. Now, by our custom, and we've gotten away from this, you know, post-slavery and during our slavery, the diaspora, that, you know, the man is moving in with the woman. And living off of her. But the scripture says that he was supposed to provide the house. When he proposed to her, before they had slept together, he was supposed to go and prepare a place. That's what Messiah was doing. That's when he went, when he's gone this time, when he's gone away, when he left and went back into the heavens, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's going to bring it back with him, the New Jerusalem. The man is also, when he marries a woman, is supposed to go and prepare a place to bring her. That where he is, there she might be. Not that where she is, there he might be. And so these brothers are laying up on these women and counting on her. But by the scriptures and by our example with Messiah, the man is supposed to go and prepare a place for his bride and then come and take her to him, himself, in his own house. How are you going to be the king over something that somebody else is providing for you? You know, you can be the king in word. But when it comes down to it, you say, get out. His name ain't on the deed. You know, he ain't paying for it. So he is out of order from the very beginning. Okay, so and even if the woman is willing to do that, he should not be willing to do that. Yeah, I want to be with you, and I love you, and I want to be married to you, but I need to make sure that I can provide a place for you and I and our family. Okay. So scripture says, if he's not able to do that, then he's out of order. Now we read, let me find this other verse in Genesis or Exodus. Give me 1 second here. Let's go to Exodus chapter 21. And I'm not using this verse to say he should take another wife, but I want to use this verse because this is what he's to provide to her. Should he take another wife, that means that he has to already be providing this. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 10. Her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage, he shall not diminish. So as a minimum, he should be providing for her food and her raiment. But we also know from the scriptures and from Matthias' example that he's to prepare a place for her. She's coming into his house. When we go to the scriptures, any time that a woman got married, she left her mother and father and became part of the man's family. Went to his house, not him moving to hers. And so he needs to be the provider. He needs to be providing these things. This is part of the covenant relationship. Part of the covenant. And so he can't, be saying that he's a man and he's moving in with this woman, and she's providing the house. And basically, he's now helping her to pay her bills. When it's supposed to be him that provides these things. Okay. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. The book of Galatians chapter 6. We'll get verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. If we're supposed to be doing good to all people, surely you're supposed to be doing good by your wife and your family. I got brothers whose wives complaining that, hey, they go do everything for everybody else and don't do nothing around here. They go and take care of everybody else's business, but then our stuff ain't taken care of. There's something wrong with that picture. It's your own house. And you let your own stuff go down and don't provide for your own family. But you're out here trying to impress other people and do for them. Makes no sense to me. So as the man, you are to do good by your own family. It starts with your own house. Now, if you're able to take care of your house and then go out and help other people, that's good. Then you can do that. But if you're not even taking care of your own house, and you're going out and helping other people, and your wife is complaining that, hey, you're helping everybody else, but not us, not me. You're taking from me to give to other people, then she may have a valid complaint. And so we as the men have to know. We have to be able to take care of our own. We have to provide for our own household. If we don't, then he says we're worse than an infidel. An infidel is an unbeliever. So you're a believer, but you don't, what do you believe? You don't believe what the scriptures are saying. You're not obeying the Most High. If you are in an arranged an arranged marriage where you two have gotten together and you say, hey, this is going to be the terms of the agreement, and you're not taking care of everything concerning that household, if you're not providing that house to her, like brothers have women that are, you know, they got their own apartment and yada, 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 but she's supposed to be your wife, but you don't provide the apartment. You don't provide the house. You don't pay the bills. You don't make sure that she has everything she needs in there. Then is she really your wife? Or are you just renting her for the time that you want to be with her? Or is she renting you? Because I do believe that the man can be prostituted as well. But the scripture puts a requirement, if you are in covenant relationship, in a covenant marriage, that the man provide these things. So if a man wants to have multiple wives, then he got to put them all up in equal domiciles. What he does for one, he has to do for them all. That way one can't say, you're doing more for her than you are for me. But he's living with this one, got this one on the side, and then those two don't even know about the third one that he got. They probably don't even know about each other. So it's just totally out of order. But, you know, let's just keep it one man, one woman. He's supposed to be taken care of. He's supposed to provide the house, his own house, supposed to bring her to it. Let's go to the New Testament. I don't have this verse. I quoted it, but now I'm going to go get it. Let's go to John chapter 14. This is the way the man is supposed to treat his woman. Okay, this is the way he's supposed to treat his wife. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He didn't say, I'm coming to your place. And you are to receive me, that where you are, there may I be also with you. The man is not supposed to be moving in with the woman. He's supposed to go get his own place and then move her in. And provide for her. So he can be the king of his own castle. He can be the ruler in his house. But if she's providing it for him, can we see how mentally, morally, spiritually, how out of order that is? He can't afford a wife, but he wants a wife. And I guess we got women that are desperate enough, and I'm going to say it that way, that, hey, I got mine, so if you don't have it, I need a man. Yeah, you can move up in here with me. Out of order. Because now she's not going to submit to him. She's providing for him. She's not going to submit. How are you going to tell me what's going to go on in my house? What's going to go up under my roof? You don't pay the rent here. You don't pay the house note. Negro, please. Heard those conversations. And the woman has a valid point. You can say you're the head all you want to, but you're not the one providing. And if she looks at you as less than a man, it's because you're acting like less than a man. I don't care how physically strong you are. You're not doing what the Most High says you should do as one of his saints, one of his holy men. You can't afford to do it, then you shouldn't be in the relationship, and you shouldn't be shacking up. Shouldn't be trying to get married. You can't afford to be married. So you want to fornicate, or you want to have sexual relations. And you say, well, hey, I need to be married for that. But then you can't afford to be married, and you can't afford to have sexual relations. So you got brothers going to, you know, just getting into all kinds of different relationships. Going to prostitutes, turning our women into prostitutes. You know, because truth of the matter is, in these days and times, the women are just as desperate as the men are. And not really looking at how does the Most High look at this? And I guess not being strong enough to say, hey, this is out of line with the Most High. So no, I can't do that. Brother, I can't be with you. Yeah, I'm lonely. I have needs too. Especially if she's already been married before or been with somebody, then those desires don't go away. And people prey on those things, both men and women. It's not one-sided. But as the man, you have to have integrity. You have to have walk before the Most High and say, no, I'm not doing that. Instead, we're doing the opposite. And then thinking that we're going to get into the kingdom. Thinking that, you know, we are fit for his kingdom. But he says, no fornicator, no adulterer shall enter into the kingdom. So if we find ourselves in that position, then we have to repent and stop doing it. And like Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says, every secret thing, things that you know, so you tipping. Because, you know, this is what I saw as a young man, especially in the church. So many single women, but they were sleeping with somebody on secretly. It would always come out. Not everybody, but the vast majority. You got somebody that's tipping. Out of order. So as the man, you have to have integrity. You have to know that you have to be the provider. As Messiah said, I go to prepare a place for you. Then you are to go to prepare a place for your bride. This is what was going on with Mary and Joseph. She's a spouse. She's engaged to Joseph. But they hadn't slept together yet. He hadn't finished preparing the place to bring her to. And so why she's at Elizabeth's house? Why is she not with Joseph during this time? When she gets pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph is doing what he's supposed to do. He's preparing a place to bring her to. And while he's doing that, the Most High approaches her and says, hey, you have been chosen to be the mother of Messiah. And I'm going to make you pregnant. Let's go to the book of Matthew. So we have an understanding of what went on here. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused. A spouse means to be engaged. And in the scripture, excuse me. In the scripture, when a man and a woman became espoused, the Most High considered them to be husband and wife, but they have not physically consummated the marriage yet. Before they came together, they are espoused. but they have not come together yet, physically, in a romantic, in a sexual way. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, think about this. She's pregnant. They have not come together yet. What do you think, you know, I'm gonna be Joseph. What? You pregnant? Me and you ain't been together? I've been here getting this house together, trying to get my father to approve it so I can bring you here, and you'll come here pregnant? Then Joseph, her husband, see, they're a spouse, but he's her husband. Being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. They are espoused, but they have not come together yet. See, when we say espoused, then we think that, hey, we got to go and consummate the marriage, and then she's my wife. And if we don't consummate the marriage, she ain't my wife. That's not what the Most High says. The Most High says the day she agrees to become your wife, and you'll agree to be engaged, and she is your wife. But you still got to go and prepare a place as the man to bring her to. And if you already got the place and you take her right there, fine and well, especially these days, because, you know, we are so out of order that, heck, she might be going against her own father, or her father may not even be in the picture, her brother. There's no male figure over her in our society today. She over herself. But it's still clearly out of order with the word of the Most High, because she's supposed to have a head. Even if it's the pastor, because she has no male figure in her life. Then she should be saying, hey, there is no male in my life that is can act as head over me, that can look out for my well-being, that can advise me in these matters. And so, pastor, will you be that person for me? Yes, daughter, I'll be that person for you. You are now my daughter. And I'm going to treat you like my daughter. And any man that wants to approach you for these things, they need to come through me. That should be the way it is, but it's not what's happening. In some, and I'm not saying this is an absolute. In some things it's happening, sometimes with some women. But the women are going out there uncovered and doing what they want to do. Or the men in their family aren't responsible, and they don't have a good relationship, and they don't want to. If that's the case, then you should find you a good pastor and make him your head. And make sure he's a good pastor. If you come to him and then he tries to sleep with you, you know he ain't a good pastor. Because he should be looking at you as his daughter. Especially if you're coming to him wanting that type of relationship. I need a head, and I'm not looking at you to be married to. I'm looking at you to be my father, to play that role, to guide me, to advise me. And so we are so out of order. But as the man, you're supposed to go and prepare a place for her, to take her, your wife, there. Now, the Most High had to intervene with Joseph and Mary. Yo, Joseph, Mary told you the truth. That which is conceived in her shame still ain't been with no man. So fear not to take her to be your wife. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Yah by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is Elohim with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of Yah had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He accepted her as his wife. He didn't take her and go into bed and sleep with her. And the scripture makes sure that it says that. And he knew her not. He knew her not sexually, intimately, till she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Yeshua. So when he says he took her unto him to his wife, I accept you as my wife. And I'm going to do those things that I would do for my wife, but we're not going to consummate this marriage as far as a sexual way. Didn't do it until Yeshua was born. But she was his wife. And so if we go into Torah, we'll find out that this, what I'm telling you, is 100% true. You know, if a man is a spouse to a virgin, they're engaged, and another man sleeps with her, the Most High considers that he slept with that man's wife, even though they haven't come together yet. So as the man, you're supposed to provide. You're supposed to go and prepare a place for your wife that you haven't slept with yet. Problem is today, we all up in it before we ever even get married. Then we decide we want to get married. Well, yeah, we want to make this. We want to make this serious. In the eyes of the Most High, it's been serious. Serious when you first laid with her. Been serious for a minute. However long y'all been going. Well, in the diaspora, in our captivity, I'm not going to say ignorance, because you can tell brothers these things and they will try to find all kind of ways around this stuff. And the women too. Well, I don't want to feel like a whore or a prostitute. So, yeah, I'm his wife, but y'all not married. Well, he said I'm his wife. Yeah, but y'all not married. And the agreement that you got is contrary to what the Most High says. So you can't be going down that road. Just because, yeah, I don't want to be alone. You would rather go to the lake than be alone. That's where we're at. And we got a whole nation of people, generations that fall into this, doing what the heck we want to do. And the man not doing what he's supposed to do. And the man having no integrity. So you ask this woman first, you shouldn't be sleeping with her in any type of sexual way. Before you get married. My wife now, she thought I was gay. Because when we met, I said, nah, I'm not trying to sleep with you. And when I didn't try to sleep with her, then she thought, oh, you must be gay. I said, why do I have to be gay? I said, all my relationships that I've been in, and I was in the world then. I was not in truth. So all of them they started off sexually. And I don't want that with you. I want it to be different with you. I said, but I can assure you I'm not gay. I just don't want this relationship to start that way. So the world's expectation, even the women, they're expecting that, oh, you're going to want to do this. You're going to want some of me. And if you don't, you must be gay. No, it's not that I'm gay. In that instance, I didn't want the relationship to start that way. And that also had to do somewhat with the Most High. But it, I can't say that it was 100% based upon that, because it wasn't. But as I learned the scriptures, I found out that that was the best thing. Because it lined up with the word of the Most High. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because it says that the man is supposed to provide for his household. And if he doesn't, he is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. He's supposed to provide the house for the household to bring to. And then they're supposed to come together to have children. And a lot of times we are just, you know, the woman's pregnant first. We're having sex already. We're fornicating. Then we're going to get married. Because, oh, you're pregnant now. Or we say, oh, no, we ain't never getting married. We're going to have this child out of wedlock. It's out of order all over the place. But we have to line up with the word of the Most High. And then we come to the Most High and we find out that we've been out of order. And the Most High has labeled us certain things, and then we don't want to accept those labels. It's me, Yah. It's me. That was me. You know, I have to say, I was a fornicator. And may have been an adulterer before I came to the truth. For 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Now am I ready to visit you for the third time. And I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents. Now, the apostle is equating himself to their parents and saying, hey, I don't want what you have. I should be saving up for you, to provide for you, but parents for their children. If a man is not able to provide for his children, save up and provide for them, because a lot of people have children so that the children can grow up and provide for them, take care of them. But the truth of the matter is, as the man, it's your responsibility to leave an inheritance to your children and to make a means for yourself to be taken care of in your old age, even if it's to pay your own child to do it. So, must be a provider for your children, for your wife, for your family. And if you don't do those things, then you're just going through the motions and you're out of order as far as the Most High is concerned. So let's review this real quick. The man must be the provider. Must be his home that he's bringing the woman to. Must be able to provide for her food, raiment, and clothing. He already got the house. She's moving in. Her food, her raiment, her clothing, and then the sexual relationship, duty of marriage. He should be provided. Now, that don't say that, you know, when we start talking about the wife and what the Most High gave the woman to the man for, to be a helpmeet, and when we look at the virtuous woman, she should not be marrying a man that, number one, doesn't already have those things, and number two, doesn't have a plan so that she can fit into his plan, because she's supposed to be the helpmeet for him. But as I said, these days, we got this thing twisted. And she's coming into the relationship. I got my career. I need you to help me. I got something I want to be in life. I need for you to help me to be what I want to be in life. Well, if that's the case, you should not want to be married because those things are more important to you than the marriage. And the covenant woman, the godly woman, is supposed to understand that she's bringing herself up and putting herself up under the authority of this man now. And he has the authority to say which way the two of them are going to go. He's the leader. So we have got these things out of order. And because we are out of order, then we got all these dysfunctional relationships. That's why the divorce rate is so high. Because we are out of order. The man is not in his place, and the woman is not in her place. And as a Christian woman or a believer in the Word of the Most High, he prescribes what the nature of the relationships between the man and the woman are. And then we come into relationships based upon what the world says. And then we try to reconcile. Try to reconcile this thing. And it don't line up. Because in order to be, and with that mentality, you have to know and do have the mentality of the world. So if the sister is being just as competitive with you as, you know, as on your level as a man, I can provide for myself. I can take care of myself. I got my own house. I got my own car. I got my own job. I don't need you. And she's putting herself on the same level in the job that the Most High has given him. Then the man's going to be competitive, just that competitive with her the same way. This is what has happened. So what you bring into the relationship? You know, he went to college. She had to go to college. He's making a certain income. She got to make a certain income. You want to be equal. You want to have equal say in this relationship. Then you got to be bringing to the relationship equally. Still out of order. It's not the way the Most High said that it was ever set up. It says that he shall be your husband and he shall rule over thee. That means that automatically, she has to be in a place of submission. Whoever she chooses, she has to be understand that she's in a place of submission. The nature of the covenant marriage is the man is the head. He's the leader. He's got to know that. And when he tries to do these things on the level of the world, with the mentality of the world, he's going to be conflicted. She's going to be conflicted. Confusion. And then they try to come to the Most High. Well, we want to make it into the kingdom and find out that everything that they've been doing is contrary to the word of the Most High. And a lot of things that are contrary to the Most High. We might believe that they are, according to our lives, the gospel. This is the way things should be. This is what I believe. This is how things should be, and then it's contrary to what the Most High says. So it's hard to change it. For either or, the man or the woman. But he's supposed to be the leader of the family. The man is the head of the home, As the husband, he has to understand that going into it. But if he's the head, if he's the head, then all the responsibility rests upon his shoulder. You can't be the head and not take responsibility. You want the authority, but you don't want to be responsible. You got to be responsible. And as the head, you have you make the decisions. Now, if you are smart, then you're going to include your other half, your wife, in those. Even she's supposed to submit to you. You're still going to consider her in the decisions. And you're going to want her opinion. What do you think about this? This is what I'm thinking about doing, us doing. And then you should have some rationale as to why you're doing it and should be able to convince her that it's the right way to go. With your rationale, I think we should move this way for this reason. And if things go sideways, then he's the one responsible. And he's the one that's supposed to fix it. Well, you know, because a plan is a plan. This is what I plan for us to do. This is how I plan for us to get there. This is the role I need you to play in support of me getting there. Or us getting there. Not just me, but us. And if it goes sideways, if it don't work out the way that I said, then we need to adjust so that we can make the plan successful. Because a plan is just that. It's just a plan. And things don't always go exactly the way that you may have expected them to go, planned them to go. And so you have to adjust. And if the woman is looking, you know, she didn't want to do it to begin with, and she's looking for a reason for it to go bad, when it does, and she's harping on see, then that's not good either. Her role should be that, oh, let me see how we can figure out how to make this work. Maybe if we change up here, maybe you didn't see this, maybe if we change up right here. She brings a skill set with her. And he should be willing to listen to it. He should be willing to listen. But the decision-making rests on his shoulders as the head. And he has the right to be wrong because he's the one that's supposed to be responsible. If it turns out wrong, if it don't work out, then I need to make it work. I need to figure out what went wrong and do what it takes to make it work. Maybe what I told you to do wasn't the right thing to do. Maybe I need to give you a different set of instructions. Maybe we need to modify what you're doing. Maybe we need to modify what I'm doing. Whatever the case. Well, baby, do you know? Do you see something different here? A way we can do this and make it work? But the end result, the end responsibility is his. Elohim has given the husband authority over their wives to lead over the family affairs. This is part of the covenant. So he has to know, a lot of men want to be, they want that title of being in charge, the leader. But number one, they don't know how to lead. Number two, they don't know what it takes. And number three, it becomes a control issue for them where they want to be able to tell this woman what to do. But they, in fact, themselves don't know what they're doing. And so, before he takes her as a wife, he should make sure that he has been trained, that he knows, you know, that he has a plan for his life. He knows where he wants to go. He knows how to get there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, or Yeshua. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. So the man is supposed to be in submission to Mashiach, the word of the Most High. And whatever instruction has been given as to how a man is supposed to be, the examples that are given in the scriptures. He's supposed to look at Mashiach as his example for his leadership. His head. Who else do you want to emulate other than your head? And the head of the woman is the man. That is given by the Most High. And we sort of went over this yesterday when we went back into Genesis and saw where the Most High said unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy conception. And thy husband shall rule over thee. He has set the order. It didn't change in the Torah. It didn't change in the New Covenant. The man is still the head. The Most High is just going back and reiterating these things. The head of the man is Christ. So women, if your man is not in the word, then he shouldn't be your man. And then if you do take him as a man thinking you're going to convert him, it takes a lifetime to learn this word. And so you're going to have to know that if you take that man as a husband and you know the word, you can't expect him to know it. And you can't expect him to submit to you because it's supposed to be you submitting to him. But I'm in the word, yeah? But you knew he wasn't. So he says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. So this is the authority given by the Most High. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. So the authority of who's supposed to be in charge of the relationship is a God-given authority. And the man has to know this, that it's his God-given right to be the head. He's placed there by the Most High. He did not place the woman there. 1 Peter. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. First Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is the mentality, and this is the type of woman that the man should be looking for. And this is the mentality that the woman should have herself. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in Elohim, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Master or Lord. Whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. So he's the head. The woman's supposed to recognize him as the head, and he's supposed to give honor to her. As unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together, one flesh, of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So, brethren, understand that the Most High has made you the head, and as the head, you're supposed to be loving of your wife, you're supposed to honor her, but she's supposed to be in total submission to you. Even to the point of, this is my master. Now, that's a hard thing today because it's not what the world says. But when you come into this covenant relationship in marriage with the Most High, says, this is the relationship that I have dictated, that I have ordained. I have placed the man as the head, and Sarah is the example, even as she called Abraham Lord or Master. She understood that she was in subjection to him in all things. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to get verse 16. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now he told this directly to the woman, so the woman should understand that this authority and this commandment comes from the Most High. Submit to your husband. You don't have to submit to every man. Every man is not your husband. But those men that are in authority over your life, your father. When your father passes the torch to your husband, then you are supposed to be in submission to your husband. This authority comes from the Most High. And so when the man, he's supposed to be the leader in the house, supposed to teach the children. He's supposed to set the standard. This is ordained by the Most High. And if the man is not doing that, is not capable of doing that, then he should not be married. If he can't provide, he should not be married. If he got himself into trouble because he was fornicating, or he got into a marriage and now he wants out of the marriage, and the law today says that, hey, you're going to pay some child support. Now he can't afford to have another wife. He can't afford to provide. Then he shouldn't be married. Because it brings you out of the covenant relationship. Now, the man has so much authority over his wife that the Most High gave him the power to even counsel any vow that she would make. This is why, you know, he's got to understand his responsibilities, but also his authority as the leader. So if his wife is going out making promises that are going to be contrary to what her husband wants, even with the Most High, he has the authority. She should not be going out making bills that her husband don't know about. She should not be going out and buying things and making commitments that she hasn't run through her husband. I don't care, even if she got her own job. Because, see, we think that when the woman goes and gets her own job, that it's her money. Truth of the matter is, no, it's not your money. It belongs to the household. It belongs to the leader. He's the one that's supposed to be making decisions on where that money goes. What goal is it going to achieve? If he has come into agreement with the woman that, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, so you work and you can work toward this, then that's one thing. But if she makes the decision she's going to get the job and so that she can go get what she wants to do, and it's contrary to where they are trying to go, and he doesn't agree to it, then she's supposed to submit herself because he's the leader. You see, a lot of times we get conflicted in these things. Well, I want to do this. And he wants to do that. But according to the Most High, you were given to him to be his helpmeet. And so now we are in a state of confusion. We are in a state that things are out of line. And now you are superseding. Superseding the man's authority. You are usurping authority. So I just want to make this clear with the men and the women. If the leader says we're going one way and you don't agree, and you talk it out, and you still don't agree, then as the woman, you're supposed to submit to his authority. And not usurp the authority. Take authority where it's not given. So I don't care what he says. I'm going to go do this. Then as a man, he's in his full right to come against you. And even to cancel out any vow that you have as part of his authority. And the man has to understand he has this authority as a leader. Let's go to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 30. So we're going to start in verse 1. The book of Numbers, chapter 30, starting in verse 1. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yah has commanded. So this is not Moses' personal opinion. This is the thing which Yah has commanded. If a man vow a vow unto Yah, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that his mouth. If a woman also vow a vow unto Yah, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house, see, her father's supposed to be her head, in her youth, and her father hear her vow, and her bond wherewith she has bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand. So if a woman is in her father's house, she makes a vow, and her father don't come against it, he holds his peace, he don't say nothing, then her vow stands, and she has to complete it. But if her father disallow her in the day that he hears, not any of her vows or of her bonds with which she bound her soul shall stand, and Yah shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. So she wanted to make a vow to the Most High. Her father said, nope, you're not committing yourself to that. He disallowed it. The Most High says that none of her vows will stand. And the Most High will forgive her. Why? Because her father disallowed it. So So her father had the authority to what? Break that vow. Verse 6, and if she had at all a husband, now she's got a new head. That's why I say we are so out of order today, because we got women with no covering, with no heads. And they're making decisions for themselves, and that's all fine and well. But understand that if you make a vow, you must complete that vow, period. I don't care if it's a fast. I don't care if it's a promise to do X. Whatever it is, you must do it. Because the promise is now on your head. And you don't have a head. You are your own head. Now we're going to see that because of the widow. And if she had at all a husband, when she vowed or uttered out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. Now, whatever it takes, she got to still complete. She got to complete whatever she has promised to do for her husband. And if she's made another oath to the Most High, she got to also do that, whatever it takes. But if her husband disallow her on that day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect. This is the power and authority that the husband has over the wife. I can cancel out your vow with the Most High as your husband. He can cancel out your vow with the Most High as your husband, and Yah will forgive you, the woman. But every vow of a widow has been married and her husband is dead. She don't really have a head, and her that is divorced. Because these women have moved out of their father's houses and they're no longer under the headship of a man. That don't mean that they can't place themselves back up under the headship of a man. But if they want to take the responsibility and authority on themselves, they're divorced, or they're a widow, then every vow of a widow or her that is divorced, for which they have bound their soul, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house, or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her, vowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband has utterly made them void on the day he heard it, then whatsoever proceedeth out of her lips concerning her vows, concerning the bond of her soul, shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and Yah shall forgive her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. So who can bond the wife? Who can establish the bond for the wife? Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. The woman has to understand that this is the authority that the Most High gives. If your husband wants to commit you, he can. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, then he established all her vows and all her bonds which are upon her. He confirms them because he heard it. He didn't come against it. His nonverbal, his taking no action to stop it, is a confirmation that the vow is valid. He confirms them because he held his peace at her day in that he heard them. Verse 15, but if he shall anyways make them void after he has heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. So he has, if he hears her making a vow and he says, You're not doing that. You're not committing to that. Then that vow is null and void. She's to submit herself. But I want, no, we're not going down that road. You got things here that need to be done. And if you vow to that, it's going to take away from this. And you're going to say, you can't do it because of that. So I'm disallowing it. He has that right. As the man, as the husband, as the leader. And if he says, you know what, I need to commit you to doing X. And I have promised that you will do this. The Most High says he has the right to commit you that way. Or to void it. That's how much authority he has. And that's the authority that women today don't want to give to the man. But he has to know that he has that authority. And if he holds his peace, you made a promise to somebody, he heard it, he didn't say nothing, then his silence confirms it. You didn't say no. You didn't disallow it. So I'm bound. Because you heard this 3 days ago and you ain't say nothing. So I got to do it. I'm bound. My word binds me to it. That's what the woman can say. She can't say, I agreed to this 3 days ago, but he just found out about it now. Then if he just found out about it now, and he didn't hear about it 3 days ago when you agreed to it, says in the day that he hears it. He says no, then your promise is null and void. But if he heard it 3 days ago when you made the agreement, you told him, he overheard it, whatever, he ain't say nothing, then you bound by that promise. Now, if he didn't say nothing, and now it's 3 days later, and he knows that you've been committed to it, now he wants to all of a sudden say, oh, no, you can't do it, but he knew 3 days ago, then the Most High says, the iniquity is on him. Let's read verse 15 again. But if he shall in any ways make them void after he has heard them, this is not talking about he just heard it, he just finding out. This is talking about him making it null and void after he's known about it, but he didn't say anything. Before, he knew about it, but he didn't say anything. So he heard 3 days ago, he ain't say nothing. He didn't say it's disallowed. No, you can't do that. You are committed now. And he come and say, no, you're not doing that. Well, you knew this 3 days ago. Yeah, but now I'm not going to let you do it. The Most High says, then he shall bear your iniquity. That broken vow is not on you. It's now on him. These are the statutes which Yah commanded Moses between a man and his wife and between a father and his daughter, being yet in her youth and in her father's house. So these are commandments. These are statutes. This is part of the covenant marriage. The man has the authority as the leader to make the decision, we're going this way. We are doing these things. And this is what I need for you to do, my wife. And then she's supposed to help in that matter. And help him to achieve which way he wants to see the family go. But he has the responsibility as the head to provide the house, to provide for the house, to marry his wife and bring her to his house. To provide for her, to provide for the children, to provide for their training, to bring up his children in the way they ought to go. It's his responsibility. And if they don't turn out right, because he didn't train them and he didn't train her, to make sure she knew what her responsibilities were and how to carry them out. Now, if he did those things and she just hard-headed, stiff-necked, then he might be having to pray to the Most High, you need to do something with this one. Because she's not going out. She's not cheating on me, but she is not obeying the commandments either. And then he's going to have to count on the Most High to handle that. Because Messiah said, only way you can put her away is that she fornicated, or she said, you know what, I don't believe the way you believe, and I'm not doing that. Okay, then now neither one of you are up under bondage. Let her go. She want to leave, let her leave. She don't believe that she can't remarry anyway, so she's probably looking to be with somebody else that agrees with her more. But the scriptures say she's already been married. She's not supposed to remarry. And no matter what she says or does, it's not going to be right in the eyes of the Most High. Because she was being stiff-necked and hard-hearted. So the man has this authority in the marriage. The man has to raise the children the right way. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And we're going to get these. We don't have to wear them out. Most people know this. But we're going to, this is the responsibility of the man. He's the head. He's the leader. Let me get back into, Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the responsibility of the man as a leader, to make sure that his wife knows what his standard is, and that she has the same standard, and that she's training the children to that standard. So to train the children to fear the Most High, that should be in her already, but it should be in him as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of Yah. Bring them up in the fear and the admonition of Yah. You fathers, don't provoke them, your children, to wrath, but bring them up. It's a commandment to the fathers. Psalms chapter 34 and 11. Psalms chapter 34 and 11. Come ye children, hearken unto me, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of Yah. So it's father's responsibility to make sure that this is in the children and in his wife. If the wife has a genuine fear of the Most High, then she's going to follow the commandments of the Most High. When it says that her husband shall rule over her. When it says that she's to address him as Lord, as Sarah did, which daughters you are. She'll understand and submit when she wants to do one thing. She wants to make a vow or a promise, and he don't want to go that way. And he says, no, it's not allowed. He's within his authority, his right. She may not be happy with it, but it's his right. Psalm chapter 111, verse 10. First thing that the father should be teaching and making sure that's in his woman, but in him. The fear of Yah is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. That should be in the man. He should be looking forward to being the woman. He should be teaching it to the children. As the leader, it's his responsibility to make sure that this is there. Because this fear of Yah is going to make sure that the children and the wife are in obedience to Yah. If they're in obedience to Yah, then they're going to be in obedience to Him. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's talking about the statutes, his laws, and his commandments. This is a responsibility of the man, the leader, to teach to his family, to his children, to his wife. So as the husband, this is your responsibility as part of the covenant. You agree to the relationship between your wife and the Most High. The Most High says you're supposed to teach your family to fear me. You're supposed to teach your family the statutes, laws, commandments, the judgments, the ordinances. When you're sitting at the table eating, when you're talking around the house, when you're just sitting there, when you are walking, taking that family walk or whatever. It's the man's responsibility. And if it don't happen, then he can't look at the wife and say it's her fault. He has to look at himself. It's my fault they don't know. Well, Most High, I didn't know. Then once you knew, then you had to start teaching them. And sometimes it can be too late. The kids get a certain age, 15, 16, 17 years old, they ain't trying to hear you that way anymore. Their core values are already developed, really by 5 or 6. But definitely by the time they become teenagers and they're trying to assert their independence, they ain't trying to hear it. So there's something that you have to put into them starting when they're young. These have to be the core values that the man has and that he's putting into the children. This has to be what he looks for in his wife. And then she has to be submissive enough to him, to listen and to do, to obey. Last things, the husband must not deny his wife pleasure. Sometimes, you know, you're working all day, you are stressed out, you don't feel like making love to your wife, or she don't feel like making love to you, or she's disinterested, and she don't, you know, she's hurting, her body is what, you know, going through whatever. But either way, it is a sin to resist your partner except for a genuine reason. Except you agree on abstaining together. We both agree. We're not going to come together like this for a minute. Now it says for prayer, for holy things mainly. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's get verses 5 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 7. Defraud you not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not, for your incontinency. Let's start in verse 3. Actually, let's just start in verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not the power of her own body, but her husband. And likewise also the husband has not the power of his own body, but the wife. So defraud you not one another, not one the other, except it be with consent for a time. We're not going to come together, that we might fast and pray. And then come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So we don't want to make physical contact, the lack thereof, a reason that somebody goes outside the marriage. Everybody has needs. These are natural. And so I'm not giving you any. I'm not doing anything with you. I'm mad at you. He says, no, you both have to agree on this. His body don't belong to him, but to her. Her body don't belong to her, but to him. So as the husband, you have to realize that you can't use your power and authority to say, no, I'm not giving you, I'm not doing that with you. These are your duties. By the scripture, these are the things that are required in a covenant marriage. A relationship, a marriage where you say you are married before the Most High. And you cannot delete any of these things. You cannot take them out of the contract. You cannot decide when we're going to end the relationship outside of what the Most High says, this covenant, outside of what he says, this is how this covenant relationship ends. These are the rules for ending it. You can't go outside of that. Can't add to or take away from that. Don't matter what man says. It don't matter what you personally think. If you say you are in subjection to the Most High, then you are in subjection to the Most High and his statutes, his laws, and his commandments are what you must adhere to, both man and woman. So as a man, you need to know these things. And need to know that you can't make up a marriage contract and say you're married before the Most High. And you alter any of this. Say, hey, well, if we don't get along, we can agree, we can divorce. And you can go find you another man, I can go find me another woman. That is not before the Most High. And you can't put that in there. If you do, then you are not married before the Most High. You're married in your own eyes, and you're married in the sight of men, but you're not married in the sight of the Most High, and he will not honor it. It is not a covenant. You're not in marriage covenant with him, because he said these rules are hard and fast. And if there's any that I've left out that you know of, let me know. But they are hard and fast. You don't have the authority to add to or take away from. I don't. You don't. No man or woman does. So when we come in and we're making agreements with women because we want to sleep with them, and then by our pride says we don't want you being with nobody else, so this is the agreement. And I'll come by. I know you need, so I'll come by and I'll pay for you to get your nails done. I can pay for you to get your hair done. I might even pay your rent. Do whatever. Then he is prostituting you. It is a contract. And it's a service for a price. You give me sex when I want to come by, and I'll do these things. And you are selling yourself for the price of whatever those things are. And that's all that that is. Because that is not a covenant marriage in the eyes of the Most High. It's contract sex. And you calling it marriage. And it may be marriage in your and that man's eyes. But it's not in the eyes of the Most High. They say, hey, these are the things that must be in the contract. If you come into a covenant marriage with me, if you're coming into marriage by my requirements, these are what are required. So the man has to know these things and he has to abide by them. But the woman has to also know them and abide by them. So when we look at the duties of the wife, some of them we have already covered. But as a man, you need to know that. But as a man, you also need to know that you need to be the provider. Anything that you do outside of this is only going to cause confusion. It's only going to cause her to have a right to say, hey, you ain't providing this stuff. She ought to say it. And before she even accepts your proposal of marriage, she should know whether you can do these things. And if you can't, she shouldn't even be accepting your proposal. I don't care how buff you are. I don't care how sweet-talking you are. I don't care how lonely she is. You should know that all those things are not worth going to the lake. And you should know that being outside of it is not worth going to the lake as a man. That being said, let us bow our heads. And if there are any questions, press the number one. On anything that I've said, if you agree with it or don't agree with it, you feel like you need to be heard, press the number one. All right, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word on this morning. We thank you for showing that we as men, you have placed us at the head in the marriage. You have given us what are your requirements for entering into this institution of marriage according to your word, what your standards are, and what you require. You have also told us that we are not authorized to add to or take away from these requirements, that if we enter into this marriage, we are saying that we are making a vow. And all that's in this vow, we must do. And Father, we just want to be right in your eyes. We want to walk according to your ways. We want a woman that understands and knows these things and agrees and will submit herself according to your word. That is by your authority. That my authority comes as a man, as a husband. That is by your authority that she is commanded to submit herself, not at my command, but at your command. Father, help us in these last days, for we are so out of order. Give us a heart and a mind that we are willing to submit to your word. And we want to be your people, and we don't care what the world says. But we will be obedient to your word. Help us, Father, for we are in trouble. We are in all kind of relationships out of your will, justifying ourselves. Headed toward the lake. Help each and every man to accept his responsibilities and his authority, to walk in your ways, to uphold your word, and to live according to your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Help every woman to hear your voice and to walk in your ways and to submit herself unto her husband as unto you, as you have commanded. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I am not going to do the duties of a wife on this evening. I think the Most High has put it in my heart I want to do something on the Antichrist. And I want to dedicate this evening to that, because we are getting closer and closer and closer. We are so close to the time of his arrival. And we as the saints need to understand, I believe the Most High has shown me verbatim in the scripture what we should be looking for and how this is going to come about. And we want to be prepared. Knowledge is strength. We want to be prepared for this so that when it comes about, we are not amazed and we are not taken by surprise. And what I am seeing is the image of the beast. The image of the beast. It is going to be so real, you're going to think that he's real. You're going to think that it's real, that it's actually a man, but it's not going to be a man. So I want to go over these things. This is what's in my heart for this evening. The image of the beast. So that we be not deceived. Because it is here. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, saints.
Without you, there's no me. I need what can I do?